News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And now it's time for your daily pet talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk, Tuesday edition. I'm your host, PJ, filling in once again for Meg, who's out sick. It's Tuesday. That means the garden line is open with Mike Wiggins. Welcome back to the studio, sir.
Well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Nice music this morning. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. You like the Billy Joel?
Oh, Billy Joel. I had on my bucket list to go to Madison Square Garden to see his monthly concert. Remember, he did it for years.
Yeah.
Well, maybe exaggeration, for at least a couple of years. And I packed them in. Had just a great show, singing all those old songs.
Yeah, I've always wanted to see the Piano Man, but never worked out. So.
Never. Well, for me either. It's one of those things that never made it. So what's happening?
I don't know. It's your show.
It is my show, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much. There's one word of the day, PJ, that we all, it's some very simple word, drought. And we've got to address that. It really is dry. There is no rain. We've had no rain. We're not going to have any rain. Now, I did see one report that said maybe a few showers tomorrow. But I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe it for a minute. I think we're set in this weather pattern until we start getting a front to come through. And so we've got to address that as gardeners, because so many of our listeners have planted many of their spring plants, be it vegetable garden, annuals, perennials, because if you go to the garden centers, they are loaded, and it just looks beautiful. It really does, and it gets you in the mood. You go home, you plant. Well, it's not too early to do that insofar as the weather is concerned, but in this dry weather, it just takes extra effort on water. I had a good friend buy an apple tree just so last week, and I had kind of told him where to go, and he went and bought it and planted it. And he said, how much should I water it? Well, I said, do what we talk about on the garden line, where we take your hose, stretch it out, and let it just dribble on that planting for maybe 2 to 3 hours. You get that water really deep. You really should not count on your sprinkler system to water any of those larger plants that you plant in this dry weather.
Why is that?
And hot weather, because it just puts them into shock.
Okay.
You can't do that. Those roots have got to have that water, and if they don't have it, water's everything.
Mm-hmm.
It really is, especially on your container plants. We talked to read an article about one of our extinction agent friends saying on your tomato plants, he said, you can plant them in the ground, and that's fine. But if you plant them in the ground, they're subject to a pathogen called the wilt. And we talked about that last week. Whereas if you've got this beautiful tomato plant growing, you've planted it in the ground, it's wonderful, you go out every day to check it. Then when you go out one day, it's like somebody poured hot scalding water on it. Well, that's the wilt, and there's nothing you can do about it. You might as well jerk that plant out of the ground and throw it away. It's just nothing that one can do about it. And you really should not plant in that same area next year. So the extension agent was making the case to grow your tomato plants in larger containers. And if you do that, that's great, because that means it's not in the ground, and in many cases, it's not subject to the wilt. But in any container, it's going to dry out faster than it is in the ground. And so you really need to get out there probably almost every day on your container plants, and get to have your hose, go out there, and have a cup of coffee with you or something stronger, and and get out there and water those container plants.
Just once a day, 2-3 times a day?
Oh, no. I think once a day. And, of course, I still like, even if you're watering your container plants, to water early in the morning. Because if not, with this 80-degree heat we're going to have, You water late. You water at noon. Much of that water is going to evaporate, which means it's not going to do any good. And if you water late in the afternoon or at night, many times you are subject to a disease. However, if that's the only time you can do it, say you're working hours where the only time you have to water your plants is at night, do it, because the chances of having a problem watering at night are much less than having a problem if you don't water at all.
Mm-hmm.
So this drought is really, really a problem. And I hope it breaks soon, but I just don't see it. I had somebody the other day say, well, you know, Mike, he said maybe the first chance we get some rain, or maybe a small little tropical system coming in. I said, no.
Don't want that rain.
No, thank you. We'll water. We'll water every day if we have to.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings up, you asked kind of when you should do this. On the lawn, that's another story. The lawn needs water just as bad as your plants. I don't think you need to do it every day, but at least three times a week for a half an hour. If this drought persists, I would add another day and maybe add another 15 minutes. You've got to keep that lawn healthy, because once again, all of this stuff is, one, it's been work to get it in and get it looking good, and it's been expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you go, it used to be where it wasn't that expensive, but nowadays, it's like everything else. The prices are up, and so you really have got to protect and take care of what you've got. So the word for the day is drought. Probably the word for the day should be water.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So we do have a question for you on the text line, 437-1620, 437-1620. If you have any questions for Mike Wiggins on the garden line. Let's see, what kind of grass seed should people use?
That's a good question. That's a great question. Our major grasses in Pensacola are Zoysia, St. Augustine, and Centipede. All right. Zoysia and St. Augustine are not subject to having a nice lawn by seeding. Doesn't work. Don't even think about it. So Centipede seed is the one you should consider. We're getting to a good time to plant it once the soil temperature goes up, and it's going up every day. It's a good time to plant Centipede seed. There's some tricks to it, because Centipede seed is a very, we talked about this last week. I hate to repeat myself, but Centipede seed is a very tiny seed, and you buy maybe a handful of it. A pound is going to cost you $25, $30. But the good thing is it covers a fair amount of area. 1 pound will cover almost 2,000 square feet. Now, how do you get that tiny little seed over 2,000 square feet? Well, what you do, PJ, is you mix it with some builder's sand.
Mm-hmm.
That gives it some bulk. And then I like to use a little hand seeder, one that has a little crank on it, and kind of fill it full of that grass seed and the soil, the white builder sand, and kind of walk across your yard with that. But what you do first is rake that yard or the area in which you're going to plant the centipede seed. Rake it good. Rake it good. You kind of break the soil, because that centipede seed really doesn't need to be buried in soil, but it needs to be in a crevice, if you will, where it gets water and moisture.
Mm.
And then it will germinate. And it will take a while to germinate. And sometimes weed control is a problem when you plant centipede grass, because here you are, you're planting a seed many times in bare dirt, and you're watering it almost every day if you're planting centipede seed. If you do that, you know who else likes that kind of treatment? The weeds. So you have to sometimes do that manually. You really can't use any weed killers at all. And if, this is another deal, and if you have used by chance a pre-emergence weed control in the spring. If you remember, PJ, you and I did a show one time where we talked about pre-emergence, keeping weeds from coming up,
mm-hmm.
and doing it in February. Okay, well, if you did that in February or even March, don't even try the centipede seed, because that pre-emergence is going to not only keep weeds from germinating and coming up, but it's going to keep centipede from doing the same thing. So you do that. And our friend Paul called us, I think it was last week, saying if you're going to plant centipede seed, a lot of people overseed with that in their centipede lawn every couple of years because centipede does have I will call it a longevity problem. After 5, 6, 7 years, you'll get some bare spots, and then you can kind of overseed it with centipede seed. So one last thing. I know we got to take a break, but when we come back, I got one more comment about choice of seeds.
All right. We'll be back with Pep Talk after this.
Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh, good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 923, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, today filling in for Meg, who's sick. It is Tuesday. It's the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins, and we do have a question for you on the phone line. So let's go to that first. Go ahead, caller, with your question for Mike.
Yes, Mike. This is Bill. I have a question about amaryllis.
Yes, sir.
After they bloom, what do you do with that nasty old bloom? Did you just cut it off?
Yeah, you can just trim it off, absolutely. The amaryllis is probably, and you know this, Bill, is one of the greatest perennials we have in Pensacola. In my neighborhood, they are everywhere, and as you know, they're blooming right now, and that's what your situation is. But, yeah, once that bloom is gone, you can cut it back, and it'll come back next year strong as ever.
Okay, there's like a seed pod right behind the bloom. Do you cut that off or do you leave that on?
Yeah, I think you've probably had it blooming. So, you can cut it back as far as you want.
Okay. All right. That's what I needed to know. They look great.
Oh, they do look great. I'll tell you right now. It's really interesting. If you've listened to our show before, our friend Skip Vogelsang, who comes on and talks about camellias. Well, Skip has kind of gotten into amaryllis and has grown some of the most beautiful amaryllis you would ever see. For those listening who may not know what an amaryllis is, you can't miss it in your neighborhood. It's obviously a green kind of a strap leaf coming out of the ground with a long stalk with that trumpet-like bloom on the front. One of the origins of some of those amaryllis is, believe it or not, is South Africa. And it's just a beautiful perennial plant if you're looking for something that's going to bloom every year without having to replant it. So, Bill, you've got a good plant there, and take care of it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Bill. We do have some questions for you on the text line as well, 437-1620, 437-1620. First one's more of a comment. I did some research on ECUA soil. It's certified safe for residential vegetable gardens. Information is available on the ECUA website. Let's see. It's also not certified for organic gardening.
It's interesting. We talked about that last week. Someone was going to use it, I think, on their lawn as to put it on the lawn as an organic amendment, if you will. And we said, don't do that. Don't do that. You don't really need to do that on your lawn here in Pensacola. Our lawn kind of thrives in sandy soil. You really don't need that compost on top. But we did talk about whether you could use it on edible plants. And my recommendation was not to do it. And it sounds like almost a mixed message here. If you're growing vegetables and you're trying to keep it organic, then what I interpret what the person who's Texas, that you can't do it. Is that what you get?
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. But it is okay for vegetable gardens. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a mixed message. Here's what I would do, and I wish I had more information on it. I'm going to go to that website. Is yes, go to the website that that folks just mentioned and kind of get that cleared up. Insofar as whether you can use it in a garden for edible plants. Now, of course, kind of one side says yes, one side says no. It depends on if you're growing totally organic or not. That's a little odd. So let's hear more about that. And I promise I'll check that website out for next week, and we can get that message out clearly.
All right, sounds good. In doing a little late spring trimming, can I be as aggressive with the loropetalum as I am with the azaleas?
Yes, yes. Now, of course, on the azaleas, you know, you've got to be perfectly sure in your own mind that they're finished blooming. Because once they finish blooming, that's the time to cut them back. Obviously not before. You don't want to cut off any blooms. So if your azaleas have had their better day, oh, yeah, go ahead and prune them. Because what you don't want to do with azaleas is start pruning them later in the summer in July and August, because that's when they're setting blooms for 2027. That's hard to say. Now, on your loropetalum, a great plant. It is one of the fastest growing plants we have. It just seems to grow overnight. But it's one of the easiest plants to prune. I guess for lack of a better word, PJ, it's a soft plant. Okay, it's not like a ligustrum where you kind of have to work at it to prune it. It's easy to prune back. But yes, this would be a great time to do it. It's not going to be the last time you do it this summer. It's going to grow, and you're going to probably have to continually do some pruning on it. But it's a great plant. It's a plant that adds color to your yard without planting annuals and perennials. It's solid red. And it really is a beautiful contrast to your green plants. But it is a fast grower. But, go ahead and prune it now. Yes.
All right. We're going to tackle one more question on the text line, and then we got to take a quick break. What about filling in the big and small bare spots in areas of my centipede lawn that have developed with zoza grass or sod?
Well, I'm a big fan. If you've got a bare spot, say in centipede grass, of using sod to, quote, plug in. I'm not a huge fan of the grass plugs. I think they dry out so very fast. In many cases, I've seen that not work. Seeding in there is possible. If you have a centipede lawn, you could seed like we talked about a minute ago. Rake it good. Sow with that centipede seed and white sand mixture. But I prefer the sod. Now, if you've got a spot where if you put zoysia grass, which is a very thin-bladed grass, in with your centipede, is it going to match? It would work. There's no question about it. It would fill in that spot. But I would think you might want to go ahead and fill in with centipede to match what you've got. Now, of course, you need to prepare that soil, get all those old weeds and stuff out of there. So when you lay that centipede sod, or even the zoysia sod, if you decide to do that, that it's the same level of the grass that you have in your lawn now. So when you mow it, you don't rip up what you put down. So, yeah, I would recommend coming back with centipede, but zoysia, St. Augustine, any of those grasses, if you you sod in a bare spot, is going to thrive as long as you do all the right things, mowing it and that type of thing. And that brings up one other point. Centipede, St. Augustine would like to mow it about 4 inches, centipede 3, zoysia 2. So if you put zoysia in there with your centipede, you're going to be mowing that zoysia probably a little higher than you would if you had a totally zoysia lawn. Mm-hmm. Or if you mow it to the zoysia height, then you're going to be cutting the centipede too low, which amounts to scalping the yard, which is not healthy. So,
well, it sounds like they were talking about bare spots, the little patches here and there. So that'd be very difficult to regulate, I would think.
I would think so. That's why I think you just go with what you got.
Absolutely.
You know, do it with centipede sod.
All right. If you have any more questions, 437-1620, 437-1620. We'll be back with Pep Talk after this.
Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Paul with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When I heard I needed a heart transplant, I thought it was game over. All I could think about was the memories that I wouldn't be able to make with my family.
Then an angel entered our lives as an organ donor. Their decision to register as a donor saved my husband's life.
Save lives, say yes. Register today as a donor at DonateLifeFlorida.org.
This message is sponsored by Donate Life Florida and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel Thursday at 10:30 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show discussing everything from registration to graduation and so much more. And did you know that 91% of PSC students graduate loan-free? Learn more Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with guests from Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg today. In the studio with me right now is Mike Wiggins. This is The Garden Line, and we do have another question for you on the phone line here. So go ahead, caller, with your question for Mike. Nope, it looks like we dropped him.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure. If you hear this, we can give us a call back, and we'll get to your question.
That's the deal.
Yes.
Well, we may want to, I know we're headed to a break here at the bottom of the hour, but just to kind of tag on to talking about that sod going in, any sodding right now, I would water. I'd water every day for a couple of weeks. If you have a sprinkler system or you're using your hose and your sprinkler, whatever it takes to get water on that lawn. And two other things that are so important. One, and we alluded to it a minute ago, just don't mow that lawn too low. Don't scalp it. Mow it high. As we said a minute ago, St. Augustine, 4 inches, centipede 3, zoysia 2, and you'll be in much better shape. And if you haven't done it yet, sharpen that lawnmower blade. And finally, and boy, this is the way I am, get those leaves off that lawn. The oak leaves are unbelievable this year. Every year I say that. I say they couldn't get worse. Well, this year they are worse. You drive through your neighborhood, and you, if you have live oaks, the people who have the live oaks in their yard, look in their gutter. It's just full of leaves. I had some labor the other day, a grandchild home from college. I said, go out and get off. Go get those leaves off. Out of the gutter. He did it. It looked perfect. They were back the next morning. So
Yep.
So, got to get those off.
I have raked my oak leaves 3 times, and it looks like I'll be doing some areas at least 4.
You'll be doing some this afternoon, PJ.
News. I'm CJ Papa. Day 2 of the U.S. naval blockade of the Strait of Hormuz, and there could be more talks between the U.S. and Iran this week.
Vice President J.D. Vance sat down with our Brett Baer and told him that he actually thinks they were not able to cut a deal with Iran in Pakistan over the weekend because the Iranian negotiators had to go back to Tehran and get approval for the terms set by the U.S.
Fox's Aisha Hazmi at the White House. Secretary of State Marco Rubio hosting a big meeting today.
Ambassador-level talks will take place today between Israel and Lebanon, aimed at disarming Hezbollah and creating peaceful relations between the two countries. We know these direct talks are the first of their kind since 1982, when negotiations led to a short agreement between Israel and Lebanon.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. On Wall Street, stocks are higher. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 931 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a beautiful start to the day. Right now it is 69 degrees with some sunshine, just about 1 hour until the Blue Angels and Air Force Thunderbirds do a joint Super Delta flyover. That'll be visible from Pensacola Beach. The Blue Angels also doing some regular practice over NAS Pensacola later this morning. We do have breaking news this morning. The Escambia Sheriff's Office announcing that Canine Rigby has been named Florida's top dog in the Florida Sheriff's Association Canine March Madness competition. Rigby is the first Escambia Sheriff's Office canine to win the championship. Sheriff's officials are thanking the community for rallying behind him during the online voting period. Well, Pensacola singer Keela Richardson is continuing her journey on American Idol. She's moving on to the top 9 after last night's performance on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame episode. And after that performance, Richardson was indeed signed, sealed, and delivered right into the next round. You can watch her again next Monday at 7 on ABC. It's 9:33, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be looking at beautiful weather today with mostly sunny skies. Temperatures warming up today into the upper 70s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 61. For Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 79. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Heading into Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 79 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 63 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
70 degrees with sunshine. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Want to know what I like best about high school sports? I love watching my son run on the field. I love seeing him smile when he high-fives his teammates. I love seeing his eyes light up when his team scores a goal. I love the fact that since he's been playing high school sports, he's making better decisions. And I love knowing that high school sports have never been safer. Why? Because coaches have more information than they've ever had. Training techniques are more sophisticated, and equipment has never been more advanced. Playing high school sports isn't just safe. It's still the best way to give your teenager a healthy head start in life. And that's something I really love.
This message about the value of high school sports is presented by the Florida High School Athletic Association and the Florida Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you. On your phone, on your computer, wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk and the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm your host, PJ, today, filling in for Meg, who's out sick. 437-1620, 437-1620, if you have any questions for Mike on the text line. And we actually are going to start out this segment with a couple of questions for Mike. Are there any disadvantages to Encore Azaleas?
I don't see any at all. Encore Azaleas, of course, the name says everything, is they come back, usually twice a year. They'll bloom spring and, I guess, early fall. I have two white ones. And periodically, even during the summer, I'll get a couple of blooms. But they are a great plant. I have a white, and I keep it very, relatively low, about 2 to 3 feet. And it's performed very, very well. Was not damaged by the cold at all. And it's just a different plant that is going to give you multiple blooms. I can't think of any disadvantages. The only disadvantages that I can think of, and we were going to talk about this a little bit later, but this is a good time to do it, is be sure when you plant an Encore Azalea or any of the other azaleas that, if we have time, we're going to talk about this morning, be sure to score the roots. In other words, when you take, azaleas have a tendency to have the roots in the pot circle around inside the pot. You've got to loosen those up. And I, believe it or not, I use a box cutter to just rip those roots. A lot of new gardeners will say, don't do that. You're killing the plant. No, that loosens those roots so they can absorb nutrients and water, and they'll do much, much better if you do that. But no, I don't see any disadvantage at all to Encore. Matter of fact, I recommend them.
Okay. Caladiums planted several bulbs in early April, some in pots, some in the ground. No sign of moles or squirrels digging them up. That's a good thing. I got lots of squirrels in my backyard.
I do too.
There's no sign of any growth. Purchased them from Caladiums Florida. Did I plant too soon, or do you think I just need patience?
No, I don't think you planted too soon. I normally like to plant Caladiums, quite frankly, right now, mid-April. But if you planted them a little earlier, it's not going to hurt a thing. But you have to be patient with Caladiums. Number one, keep them, even though they're not showing any growth, keep that area watered. Not anything extra, just as you do your other shrubs. And I would say in May, you'll probably see the new growth coming up out of the Caladiums. By June, they should be really colorful and beautiful. I think you can tell, PJ, in Pensacola, that is just about top of my list of favorite plants. I like to plant them in containers. I like to plant them in the yard. And over the years, we have made a big, big deal out of how to keep them year to year. Dig them up, put them in a burlap bag, something to keep them dry, put them in the garage, and then plant them in April. I've quit saying that because I have a very small area underneath a holly where I planted Pink Beauty Caladiums. And they are already coming up from last year. And last year they came up again also, like it's a pure perennial without having to dig it up. I don't know what other people's experiences have been with that, but I've been very pleased. And I will say this, these folks bought their Caladiums from Caladiums Florida. I have bought from them every year. They have great customer service. And if you go to their website, not Florida Caladiums, Caladiums Florida, you will see pictures of every variety they've got. And it's just easy to pick from. They have them in nice assortments. And they always deliver to our area. And they always say, we'll just deliver to Pensacola when it's time to plant them. I said, fine, do it. That sounds great. So that's what they do. So Caladiums are really, really good. Now, Caladiums Florida also sell one of my favorites, which is the elephant ears. So if you're looking for something that looks tropical, maybe put in a corner of your yard and then plant some plants in front of it. Those elephant ears are great. The upright elephant ears have turned out to be my favorite versus the perennial elephant ears that kind of droop over, which are good. And they come up every year, too. The cold weather knocks them to the ground, but they'll come up every year. So elephant ears and Caladiums from Caladiums, Florida, that's a good bet, no doubt about it.
That's interesting.
And I think, going back to the question, you're going to be just fine. Those Calaves are going to come up. You're going to enjoy them all summer. It's real one of the comments. I don't know how Calavians know, but as we get into September, PJ, they'll kind of bolt. They'll kind of go and kind of bend over, and you kind of have to cut off some of the leaves and enjoy what's there. Then those leaves will droop over. So usually by September, October, they've about had it. Now, once again, you can leave them where they are and hope they come back next year, or dig them up, keep them dry, plant them in April 2027.
Okay. Well, we'll keep it on caladiums here because I just had a new question pop up. So I ordered some caladiums, and the instruction sheet included in the package said soil should be about 65 degrees before planting. I had some caladiums from last year and had planted them in pots in the greenhouse before receiving the new ones, and they have not come up either.
Yeah, they will. They will.
They're almost automatic. Sounds like the late season for caladiums.
Exactly. I think you're going to be just fine. It's funny about planting caladiums. This is really just kind of an aside, is that some of the literature, I think it was in Southern Living, said to plant caladiums, you kind of look at them very closely. They've got the bottom of them is very smooth, the bulb, and the top you see the bulb, the kind of the bud coming out. Southern Living said plant them on their side, and they'll do really, really well. Hmm. And some guy came up and said, why don't you just plant them upside down? And I'm not sure they wouldn't do that either. I wouldn't do any of that, but I thought it was interesting that Southern Living would say, plant them on their side, and they'll do well. You may experiment with one and see how it does.
Interesting.
Just for fun.
All right, and this is more of a comment, but it goes back to your filling in the bare patches of the lawn. Cut corner pieces of original centipede and plugged it in the bare spots, and it works just fine for me.
Absolutely. Very good. Good idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we know, you know what I'm going to say. If you're going to do that right now, water, that's the key. That's the key to success. That's one reason about the plugs. The plugs are grown in a tray with a very small root system, and you plug them, oh, say on 5 to 6 inch centers in your bare spots, you have got to water them every day, or they won't do well at all.
Okay. What is it you suggest I apply April 15th? I did put out some post-emergent on February 15th, as you suggested. So it looks like they're going to your post-emergence discussion that you had earlier.
Yeah. In February, we like to put out the pre-emergence. I think that's what they mean. The post-emergence, it's a good time for that because you want to plant or spray your post-emergence once the weeds are up there looking at you. And most of the post-emergence are only for broadleaf weeds. In other words, they're not going to do much work on crabgrass, but they'll do a number on dollarweed, Florida pusley, Virginia buttonweed, those type of weeds. But now is a great time because temperatures are moderate, 70s during the day, 50s to low 60s at night. Because once you wait till late May and we get into the high 80s and 90s, you start using that post-emergence on your lawn, it can equate to a blowtorch. It'll burn it, and you don't want to do that. And while you're applying the post-emergence, I really recommend a pump-up sprayer. That way you can really isolate where you spray. In other words, you don't need to spray every inch of your yard. If there's no broadleaf weeds that are up, you don't need to do it. If your yard looks really good, but where the broadleaf weeds are, I think a pump-up sprayer is your best. I think a hose attachment sprayer is okay, but then you're going to spray areas where you don't need to spray. Remember our old philosophy of integrated pest management here on the Garden Line. The philosophy is only use these chemicals where they're needed. You get chinch bugs in the front yard, you don't need to spray the backyard. Just spray where the problem is, and it'll help the environment. It'd be less expensive, and it'll work.
Okay. Well, actually, they updated their comment to say, I meant pre.
Yeah, I knew they did.
So, have anything additional that you want to add to that? Or?
No, but I do like Trimec. That is a good brand of post-emergence weed killer. There are a lot of them on the market. But what you need to do for sure is read that label. And this takes you to the fine print, because I've seen some of these post-emergence weed killers for sale. And way down on that label, it'll say, may damage St. Augustine, or not to be used on centipede and St. Augustine. Be careful about the product you buy. And that's where you need to talk to somebody like Larry at Pensacola Seed and Garden. Talk to the folks at Werner. They're good about which post-emergence that they recommend and which ones are labeled for our Pensacola grasses. Because, you don't want to do any damage by spraying the weeds. It'll kill the weeds, but you don't want to damage that grass because it's too much trouble and too expensive to replace it.
All right, 437-1620. If you have any additional questions, you're listening to Mike Wiggins and The Garden Line on Tuesday. I'm your host, PJ, News Radio 92.3. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this Thursday at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I'm Terry Village Shishati, former commanding officer of Naval Air Station Pensacola, and I wanted to personally invite you all to join us on May 8th for the second annual Pensacola Navy Days Golf Tournament presented by Astro Lincoln. It's going to be held on board Naval Air Station Pensacola at the historic A.C. Reed Golf Course. There's going to be some great giveaways, contests throughout the course, and we're going to finish up the day with an awesome award ceremony. So to find out more, go on PensacolaNavyDays.org and click on the events page. Come on out and support Pensacola Navy Days and our incredible military community.
Bay Outlook is calling for intense flooding, followed by the end of the world!
You don't need panic. You need information. News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg today. 437-1620, if you have any questions for us on the text line. First one is up from Catherine. She wants to talk about Earth Day. The event is coming up Saturday at the Bayview Center, I believe.
Catherine always takes care of us. When I forget things, she always takes care of us. Absolutely. This Earth Day event down at Bayview Park is nothing new. It's been held for years, and it really is an exciting event. All kind of vendors and information, really to policies and procedures to help save the environment. And, of course, it's only fitting it'd be at Bayview Park right next to Bayou Tahar, where stormwater has been an issue over the years. And the city has done a good job of addressing that. But the Earth Day is one you don't want to miss. It's a lot of fun. I think, and Catherine, you can correct me, I think they'll have entertainment, food, displays, that type of thing. It's something, a nice thing to do. Maybe take the kids, just get all the youngsters kind of clued in to things that are environmentally safe and help the environment. I think it'd be a good learning experience for a lot of people. So that's at Bayview Park. I don't know the times at Catherine.
10 to 4.
10 to 4. Very good. On Saturday, right?
Yep, Saturday the 18th.
Bayview Park. Yeah, try to go because it's a neat event. Catherine, thanks for the update.
Absolutely. So we have another question for you. So what do I put out now for growth and greening?
That's a great question. we have told people over the last month to kind of cool it. Let's don't fertilize the lawn yet. It's just a little early. But here we are in April. I would say in the next couple of weeks would be ideal, but it probably would not be wrong to go ahead and do it right now. The trick, that's the wrong way to put it. The procedure
feels like a trick sometimes.
The trick for doing it is not a secret. One, we use the right fertilizer. That's what we need to do. Use a fertilizer with high nitrogen. Every fertilizer you buy has three numbers. Nitrogen, phosphate, and potash are the three numbers. That first number is the one we really pay attention to in the spring. That's what's going to make it green, going to make it go, make it grow. So I like a formula of, and I've mentioned this many times, 16-0-8. I've seen a little higher nitrogens, 22-4-4. It probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But you want that high nitrogen, that's what's going to make it grow. But a couple of things you also need. You need to buy the quality fertilizer, not just a commercial fertilizer, a quality fertilizer, that, and read the label again. Be sure it contains iron. It contains minor elements like magnesium. That's important. It's granular, and it's slow release. That is critical. All of those things are critical insofar as picking the right fertilizer. And once again, our local garden center experts can guide you to the right brand name. I like Fertilome. Fertilome used to have a product called Fertilome Classic, and it was a 16-4-8, which was perfect. So go ahead and do it. And, of course, never, ever put fertilizer out on a wet lawn. Because what happens is those granules will stick to the blades of grass and discolor them. Put it on a dry lawn, but immediately afterwards, water it in real good. Kind of, because you got to get it down into the turf, to the roots, where it's going to do good.
Yeah.
And so that's what I would do. And, of course, PJ, I'm sure there's people listening to our show who listen often say, Mike, shut up about this. But I'll say it again. Whatever you do, don't let anybody talk you into using a weed and feed fertilizer. Not only is it the wrong one to use in the spring or early spring, it's double wrong right now because that atrazine in that weed and feed could easily give your yard a little yellowing. Use just the plain fertilizer, but buy a good one.
That's a good tip because my wife actually brought home some weed and feed, and I think she was thinking it was okay to put it down.
I think you might want to hesitate, or if you're going to do it.
I will be talking to her about it.
If you've got it, do it quick because you sure don't want to do it when it gets warmer.
All right. For sure. Another question for you, 437-1620. How close can I plant Carolina blue cypress to concrete, and when is a good time to get that in the ground?
Well, I think getting any plant like that in the ground is a good time right now. I even prefer to plant plants like cypress in a cooler weather. But if it's been container grown, and most of them are, of course, that means the whole root system is there. It's intact. So you should be really in good shape planting it right now. Now, what I would do as you plant it, I would use a little bit of Canadian sphagnum peat moss to add organic material and moisture-holding material to the hole that you dig. Be sure you plant that cypress at exactly the same level as it was in the pot. In other words, you don't want the top sticking out or you don't want it too deep. Now, where to plant it as far as the driveway or the sidewalk is concerned, I think you have to look at how tall it's going to get. And I would say at least, I've kind of taken a little guess here, I'd say at least 10 feet off.
That's oh, okay.
I think so, just to be safe.
Yeah.
You know, and also, you know, check your, check the telephone wires and all that. But be sure that you are off that sidewalk a little bit.
Okay. We have about 5 minutes left of Pep Talk, 437-1620. If you have any questions for Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line, we'll be back after this.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah. Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's. Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Bands on the Beach is brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music. This week, the White Sands Panhandle Band takes the stage. You'll hear everything from Marty Stewart to Mary Raven to Charlie Daniels all at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night. Don't forget, pets or glass not allowed.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg today, 437-1620. If you have any questions for Mike, we have about 2 minutes left in the show, but we are going to embark upon a lightning round.
We do that sometime. Okay, number one deal, drought, it's dry, get that water out. Spring plants, the choices are unbelievable. And just kind of a teaser, next week, we're going to kind of go through a list. I found this list that I made years and years and years ago of annuals that do well here in Pensacola. So we're going to go through that. Keep in mind, many of the plants that you plant, tomatoes, it's too late to plant tomato seed. You want to plant to transplant, and you want to look for the name Bonnie Plant Farm. They're up in Union Springs, Alabama, one of the best vegetable plant growers everywhere. Your big box stores have them. Even your smaller garden centers have them also. Lime. If you're going to do lime, you just have to. I say you have to. You don't have to. But you want to put 2 weeks between putting out lime and fertilizer. They tie chemically. They tie each other up. So if you have a very low pH and you've got St. Augustine grass, and you want to put some lime on it, that's a great idea. But put 2 weeks between the lime and that fertilizer at 16:48 we talked about a minute ago. Caladiums, I was going to mention that, but we've already talked about that. Plant them now. They're going to be beautiful this summer. You're really going to enjoy it. Rose bushes. Rose bushes we need to fertilize every month. What the experts are telling me is use the granular when you plant your rose bushes, and then you can come back and use the liquid, like a Miracle-Gro liquid, in those other fertilizations. I've kind of stuck to granular myself, but it's interesting that they would say that. So you might want to try that. I think that's it. The Trimec, we can use that right now for weeds. And be sure to use a little peat moss in all those beds you're preparing for your annuals. That's going to hold that moisture in and add organic material. DJ, great job today. Thanks.
All right, thank you. That wraps the Garden Line. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Bye.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.